You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 67. Today we're talking about setting and achieving business goals with Thomas O'Grady. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Merrill. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. Mate, you know this is my favorite topic ever. I have a passionate hatred for people who do not set goals but still talk about how successful they're going to be. So everyone listening really needs to jump online and get the points and takeaways from this episode by going to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/067 for episode 67.
So today we're focusing on business goals, in particular how to set them and how to ensure that we achieve them. We discussed visions and missions way back when in episode number 3 and 4. So go ahead and put those on your playlist for after the show, as I'm sure they'll complement this show nicely. Now, goals are simply focusing attention on achieving a desirable outcome. As business owners, we get into business for many different reasons. You might get into it to make a lot of money. You might want to have more spare time than your average 9-to-5 job. Or you might want to have a positive impact and change the world through your product and service. No matter what your desired outcome is, you need to set achievable goals in order to break things down into bite-sized chunks so they're not too overwhelming. So let's assume you want to double your revenue in 2 years. Some goals might be to reduce your overall budget cost by 10% in 3 months, increase market share by 5% in 6 months, etc., etc. Then once we define our goals, then we have to look at ways of staying on track through those difficult times. Grant, you and I understand the power of setting goals. It allows us to set big goals and to get big wins, so it's a super important topic. Now, it serves us in our personal and business lives, and if you get them right, there's nothing you can't achieve. Your thoughts on this one, mate?
Yeah, mate. Look, I couldn't agree more. I think the best analogy I've ever heard is a commercial airplane, right? They're off course for minutes after they take off, right? And they're actually off course for about 98% of the entire trip. Then they try to take different paths based on wind trends, turbulence, etc. But no matter if it takes slightly longer or if it was a bit bumpier than they anticipated or even if it used more fuel, it always gets to the destination in the end because it has a clear plan laid out and they know exactly where they're trying to get to. And this is why setting business goals is so crucial. From my experience, there is a lot more to having goals than just having something to aim for. If you have a team, it gives you parameters to set their individual and team KPIs, as well as we've outlined in episode 10. It also helps you carve out what opportunities to take and which ones not to take, as you can constantly ask yourself if it aligns to your business's goals. And as well as your day-to-day tasks, ensuring that they always align back to achieving those greater goals, right? So it really is critical that our goals are always there and we're always realigning it. So just before we jump into the episode, it's important to mention that goals are not an option in your business. You need to have them. When you're setting your goals, do not just schedule 15-minute slot in your calendar and then mark it as done. Put some serious thought, review time, and effort into doing them. And always print them off or have them somewhere prominent so that you can see them day in and day out so that you subconsciously realign to them. And so when you're creating them, reviewing them, and realigning to them, do not allow anyone else to distract you in that time. It is imperative that this is your number one focus when you're sitting there and aligning to it. So I'm going to jump off my soapbox. Adam, let's get into the episode.
Let's do it. Today we've got Thomas O'Grady on the show. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Thomas is the host of the top-rated podcast, Life Unsettled, a show that teaches people how to break through into success and how to catapult your career and business. He has a PhD in mathematical and statistical economics. He's the author of The Mechanics of Breakthrough Success. He's worked with companies such as Toyota, Mercedes, Mitsubishi, and Microsoft, just to name a few. He's built multiple companies. He's appeared on TV and radio over 300 times, and he's appeared in print, wait for this, over 35,000 times. The type of guy who, if I listed all of his credentials, would be here all day. But I love the mantra on his website that simply states, pick where you want to be, now identify and learn the things you need to get there. I think that is simply brilliant, and I love that. It's an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Thomas. So tell me about how you got into, or fell into, or was pulled into this area of setting and achieving goals.
Actually, it happened a long, long time ago. And I would have to say it went backwards in the sense of it happened, and then I looked back and said, why did I do this? How did I get there? Et cetera. But the first time was literally, and this says what, you know, you mentioned some of my credentials there, anybody can do it sort of philosophy. I started out, I literally had no confidence, nothing. I thought I never would amount to anything. And a lot of it had to do with my eyes were crooked, et cetera. And I had teachers that had no faith in me and bad things, and guidance counselors that just said, you know, just looked at me and just assumed that I would never do anything. But what happened was something changed, because when I went into the military, took a language course, at the end of the language course, they said they were going to fail out 70% of the people, and they did. And people literally committed suicide, had nervous breakdowns, because if they didn't pass, they would go off to war. And at the end, and a professor sat down and said to with me and somebody else and said, gee, if you did this, you just decide what you want to do and you can do it. So what I thought back, now what got me there was fear, of course, fear of having to be kicked off and go to infantry training. But the thing was, I started thinking and looking at it and deciding, okay, how will I get better? I knew that I could push myself. If I pushed myself harder than absolutely anybody else, maybe I could do it. And then slowly over time, which we can get into more detail because otherwise it would take 3 days to explain it all. But what happened over time is I studied, I learned from others. I kept on looking and trying to find out how to move ahead faster, how to do better, how to get more done, and how to succeed to the kinds of things I wanted to do. And slowly over time, I put together, and literally I've been doing that for probably 35 years.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think it's not an unfamiliar story to a lot of entrepreneurs out there whose teachers sat back and said, you'll never amount to anything. So I can definitely relate to you on that one. What was that aha moment when you realized how important the goal setting was and that it was your calling to be able to go on and teach that to other people?
Well, the first one was that literally when I sat there, I thought of two things. I thought, gee, if the military could push me this hard, this far for them, couldn't I do the same thing for myself? And then I thought, gee, I don't know what I, at that time, I didn't know what my IQ or anything was. And I said, gee, if the average person's 100 and maybe I'm a 90 and we only use 10% of our brain, but if I work 20% harder than everybody else, then lo and behold, I'll be a 10.8 and they'll be only a 10.
Yep.
So it was, whether that biologically makes sense or not, it doesn't matter. But those two things got me to push myself. But I realized, see, there's two parts to that. One is working that harder than everybody else. But the other is, I'm so far behind everybody else. How am I going to catch up or get ahead? So I was constantly looking for that and looking for ways to learn. And when I had people, whether it be in college or anything else, I started to look at that. And so the goal setting in each case was there, but they started out as little goals and then later on became much bigger. And they were life goals that literally I had to have a really set path in order to attain and get.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely brilliant. And I think, you know, when you go through life and you see people achieving massive things and you say, well, they're special. You know, I could never possibly do that. And I think, you know, through the power of goals, we'll be able to break these down into what we say, bite-sized little chunks. And I think you've outlined it perfectly there, where you can just set a little goal and then build up into a bigger one. So after this show, will everyone out there listening be able to go into the office tomorrow and put a framework in place to be able to analyze, realign, or set some new goals that they'll be able to achieve easily?
And the result at the end, probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because my wife and I have done very, very well, but and she's not one to lay on compliments.
anyway, just to you though, Thomas.
I hope she doesn't hear this one. Anyway, she was sitting on the sofa a couple of feet from me, and she leaned back and said, thank you for a life I never dreamed of.
Wow.
And that's the most rewarding thing that anybody could ever receive.
That's powerful.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. Enough of the chit-chat. Let's jump into the meat of the episode.
All right. So let's jump straight into it. Today we're talking about setting and achieving business goals. But before we jump into it, Thomas, is there actually a difference between goals, targets, and objectives, or is it just a word that we can sort of interchange?
Well, yeah, you can get into semantics with it, et cetera, but targets is just what you're aiming at. I like to think in terms of what people call goals. For example, I hate the term SMART goals, And we can get into that at some point. I'm sure you have questions on it. But
yep.
The idea is that when you're thinking of a target or a goal, very often you're thinking about something you can see. And part of the purpose of the book I wrote, Mechanics for Breakthrough Success, is the idea that your goals really are just a endpoint to the next step or the next journey. So, for example, people have 12 to 15 careers during their life or jobs during their life. Why not think of the next one as the next journey? And what are you going to do to prepare for when you're going to be at your next stop?
Yeah.
So that you will get and attain things that you don't even see yet.
So if I was to close my eyes and actually think of it, I can see, touch, and feel that goal that I'm going to have at the end point of that journey or the little part of my greater journey in life. I think that makes complete sense. So if we're looking at setting and achieving business goals, what's the framework, the process, or the steps that you really sort of guide people through in order to help them set it up, but also to achieve it?
Well, first I look at it in a set of things, as you just said. Create the dream. That is, what is the dream that you want to envision for your business, whether it be for yourself or for business? Then identify and study what that ideal goal or target is. And what I say identify it and study it is because you don't really know all the facets of it. You just have this dream, this vision in a sense. But you have to know and learn a little bit more because what do you need to get there?
Yeah.
What is it about it that's going to get you there? Then find your mentor, coach, guide, whatever you want to call it, and they may change. For example, a mentor that you might use at the beginning or a coach that you may use at the beginning may change over time, and they should be very happy to see you graduate. Then plan the strategy and steps along with them or yourself as to how you're going to get there, because that becomes your individual steps are thought of, in my term, as goals. And then you have to build your new network as you're achieving those goals. And why I say the new network, because the people that you know, and I've discussed this on my podcast, your peers, friends, and family can be harmful. Now, what I mean by that is they know you. They're overlapping or within your comfort zone. If you're going to have something that's truly different and new in your life, it's not only outside your comfort zone, it's probably substantially outside theirs. So either they're going to be jealous, angry, whatever, or they may be the wonderful, most cherished person that just loves you. But when you're stepping outside their comfort zone, they feel uncomfortable. That is, they see danger for you. So they will tend to hold you back. This idea that people go and get together as friends to start and help each other starting a business generally won't work. Why? Because it'll have to be within the framework that they're already familiar with. You need to find those new people that you may not know yet and really start building things. You know, it's the idea of the five closest friends that is talked about. Well, in this case, you're reaching out to people that are new. I use an analogy if I have a moment.
Definitely.
When you're starting out as a high school player, I guess, I'm not sure what sport to use.
You can use football. It's all right.
Okay. That one I know well. But anyway, in football, what happens is in order to get out of high school and get into one of the top colleges, because it's really the top colleges where you stand a chance to get into the pro ranks, you have to be not only the best in the high school, but probably the best in the county or the state or most of the area anyway. Then in order to go on in college and be there, you have to compete because they're getting people from all over the nation, that top school. And you have to be the best there and probably the best amongst many others in all the other top schools in order to get invited to what's called the combine. It's sort of like the tryouts. When you get invited to the combine, you have to perform well in order to get drafted. And that means you're invited to training camp. There's only 93 people to training camp and only 52 will remain when the season starts. So you have basically maybe 43, 45 that already were there from before. So out of that, you've got about 45, 48 people that only 8 of them are going to make it. And then if you make that, you're now a rookie. And if you do well, you might be invited back and become a regular player. Do you think any of those people in the pros are still palling around and getting advice from their high school buddies?
Definitely not.
Probably not. And probably not even their college buddies. You have to do the same thing in academics, in business, or other places.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. Now, we can get lost along that way, can't we? If we sit down and say, my goal is to make the college team, without breaking it down into those bite-sized chunks, it gets pretty overwhelming, doesn't it? You know, you've got to sit down and analyze. How do we do it? Is it that overall goal and then we break it down into individual goals? How do we actually get there? So, you know, we miss a day of practice. Oh, it's never going to work anymore. I'm not going to make it into the college team or the high school team. How do we stay on track by setting those mini goals, or what's the formula for that?
You have the big goal. You know, I want to be a football player. And you may even have this in high school and you dream about it and you play, you imagine yourself. But you have to have the goal of being the one that shines not only on your team, makes your coach proud. Why? Because your coach is the one that's going to help you get the position or get noticed. You're going to have to make sure that you do all the things and that you study all the things that are maybe at the next step. It's kind of like in preparation for college. You make sure you not only do well in your courses, but you're one of the best in the courses. So that when you get there, you can perform well in that course, in the new course at college level. Well, if you're doing and looking towards what the next level could do and doing those exercises and those things, that is perfecting your craft the best you are, very much like you're reaching out and when you're going and get to the professional levels, you're no longer associating. While you're at the high school level, you're thinking in terms of and looking at how it's done in the rank above you. And then you're diagnosing and breaking down the pieces, and it's everything from the exercise, the drills that they do, the attitude, the way you eat, the way you take care of yourself and your body.
Is there a step after rebuilding your network, or is it kind of end there, and then when we reset new goals, we reset our network again?
Well, you're getting into a topic I love, and that is there's no such thing as plateaus, and that's what I mean by exactly what you just said. Those are your goals to get to something. And when you get there, I mean, when I got to some of the things I did, I never imagined I would go beyond that into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I've done it several times over. That's the idea of the mechanics for breakthrough success, is that you have that one major thing that you're looking at. Along the way, there's two things that happen. You'll find out about other things. And if you look at it, you'll realize you can attain more. Now, most people think of plateaus as they, and this is what happens to them, they see the goal, and as they approach the goal, they sort of slow down. I actually learned this from a friend who taught me weightlifting when I was in the service. I was looking at other people, et cetera, and anytime he noticed, he was a champion, by the way, so that spells a whole different definition on the whole idea of the mentor and everything. He had won the Texas Oklahoma New Mexico heavyweight, tri-state heavyweight division. And he was showing me exactly what to do, and he brought me along because I was a skinny kid and, you know, I'd blow away with a sharp breeze. Anyway, when I started to slow down, I would get to a point where I was, you know, maybe 2 days in a row, two different times we were exercising, using the same weights. There was no increase, and I was just struggling for things. All of a sudden, he'd say, wait, and he'd throw like an extra 15 pounds of weights. And lo and behold, I could do them. What had happened was your mind sets you to the point that you think you can't do anymore. You know, you thought you were going to do 10 of these reps and you're pushing yourself and you're pushing yourself. You get to 8, you get to 9, and for some reason it's struggling. He would throw 15 extra pounds on there and talk me through it, and I would have it and do it very easily. So that's the same thing that we do with the mind and with our other goals, is as we start to slow down or get to something and we think we're at our limit, we really need to set and reset our goals. Now, when you're having and you're building the network, etc., for example, in the football example, the goal might have been for somebody to get onto the college team and be a star because he knew a lot of the other stars that were in the environment, in the state that he was in. And they had, you know, notoriety and everybody talked about them, etc. But as he got there, and he started to perform real well, he should be thinking in terms of not his current situation or that college, but what is the next step? How much further can I go? And what do I need to do to attain that?
Yeah, I love that. We've kind of focused quite heavy on like that, getting back into resetting your goals if you have a bit of a plateau or a slowdown, and as well as the importance of building a new network. So if we go all the way back to the start and we look at trying to create the dream or create the goal ourselves, Are there some core fundamentals to that step?
Well, there's two parts to it. One is, and I hate it when people start talking about just look for your strength and just shoot for your strength and ignore your weaknesses, because that's something that can hurt you and limit you. But you have certain things that you like, and you have to, and somebody has to either walk the person through it or they have to think about it. There's a couple of people I'm working with, for example. One is very, very successful, an immigrant to the United States, and was president of a company, but is trying to reset goals and redefine what they want to do and what they want to be. And they're trying to search out what do they like. So some of it has to be what you like. And sometimes that's not necessarily, that doesn't mean that you have this follow your passion idea, because following your passion, I mean, almost everybody seems to want to be an actor, an actress, a musician, a singer, or some other silly thing, which sounds good, but you'll most likely spend the rest of your life working as a waiter or waitress nearby Hollywood or something and never get anywhere. Passion, a lot of times, is what you make of your career. I know somebody, we corresponded a couple of times, and he got a very simple job. Well, he's a trucker, and the fact is he's loving it. He wanted it, and he wanted it very badly. So for him, that is what he does, and he has passion for it. When people started talking about passion, I started looking in and researching that and realizing that, gee, there's so many people I know of that have passion because of the pride and the attitude they have for what they do. I've met a garbage man in the South Manhattan in New York that I was staying at this hotel. They were at the coffee area in the hotel when we walked downstairs, and they're talking about how proud you're going to be. You're going to be amazed when you come back. Everything will be so clean and neat, etc. Now, these people had a lot of passion for what they were doing. So you can pick anything from what you want to do right away, or, you know, something that you may fall into, or an opportunity that you get, and decide not that just that you're going to do it, but you're going to do so well, you're going to be proud of it.
Does it have to be quantifiable? Or could it be, I really would like to get here, and you don't know if you're on the path there until you get there? Or is it something that we should be able to realign with every month or every quarter, such as to your football example, where, okay, I've made this tryout, then I made the state team, then I made the tri-state team, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it just something that we just subconsciously realign to? And how long should the goal be? Is it a 3-year goal, 5-year goal, 6-month goal?
Yep. Sorry, I just had to do that. But it can be, and it should be, a combination of those, because those mini goals, those are the things, you know, when you talk about a 3-month, 6-month goal, that's what I talk about in terms of what people call SMART goals. You know, this timely, specific, et cetera, attainable, measurable. Those are all the SMART goals. But what you really want to do is you have this other goal that you don't even know necessarily how you're going to get there. When the case of JFK, John F. Fitzgerald Kennedy, decided that we would have somebody on the moon before 1970, when he did it in 69, they had no idea how they were going to get there. There were so many things that had to be invented or created in the meantime. So they had to have a whole series of short-term goals, whether it be the propulsion system, the ability to have an astronaut be able to breathe and everything else in the, out there in space for some period of time. Whatever it was, there was a lot of things that were not even invented yet. If they never got there, would that be a failure or not? No, that maybe they'd only be able to orbit the Earth so many times and do certain experiments, and that wouldn't be so bad. When you have your goal, you may not necessarily get to that end goal, but that doesn't mean you're going to not strive for it, or that you're going to change it. When you were in high school, you knew things like reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, etc. Those are very limiting. You get to college, all of a sudden, instead of it seeming like there were a dozen careers, all of a sudden you see there are hundreds. And then when you get into one of those, you find out that there's all kinds of variations in every one of those. So knowledge tends to redefine our goals. But in the meantime, we have to be shooting for that ultimate goal that we want, or that ultimate lifestyle.
I couldn't agree more with that. I think once we've sort of set that greater goal, to your point, we've had shorter term goals. I think you mentioned a second point, which was identifying and studying what the ideal goal is. So I kind of know that I want to sort of impact 1 million people in my life as a greater goal. So how do I identify and study that? Is it just as easy as looking at other people who have made that impact? Is it as easy as sort of, I don't know, studying how easy it is to impact a million people or something? What, how do you do that? It's kind of step two that you mentioned.
Well, one of the things you do is, let's say you want to take a look at what somebody else has done. I'll use somebody like a golfer as an example, or a baseball player. And I use that because one of the things that you find is that generally people will mimic and copy. And actually, if you look at what the Japanese have done over the last 50, 60 years, et cetera, what they did was they copied exactly what other people were doing before they made any changes. And it's very, very important that they duplicated precisely before changes. There's really hardcore statistical reasons for doing it that way. So, for example, when they decided to go into electronics, radios, et cetera, speaker systems, et cetera, they went and they copied the things from Germany so that they literally were identical in every way. Watches, they copied Switzerland precisely, Seiko watches, et cetera. They made sure everything was identical to the point that they literally could match the quality and everything. And then only then did they start adjusting things like design and some other key factors. Same thing with cars. Every place along the way, they copied. And that's what you basically do with yourself. If you want to be a great golfer, you want to be a great baseball player, you mimic and copy exactly what's done, how's it's done. You want to be a person who influenced lots of other people. Pick some of the people out there that you might model yourself after. Now, for example, you know, there's a lot of different variations too. There's the Tony Robbins kind, which I could never imagine myself doing some of that. Bob Proctor, Jack Canfield. You know, there's lots of different people out there that have done it in different ways. You pick what you want to do and then say, okay, what do I need to do to accomplish and overcome any of my obstacles? And some of the obstacles are things that you, and this is where I say, don't just follow your strengths, also look at your weaknesses. When I was younger, I couldn't even speak in front of a small group of people in a high school classroom, but I found a way to beat that.
Brilliant. Just before we wrap this one up, can we talk a little bit about enjoying that journey? I know from a personal standpoint, I'm one of those guys historically who set goals and would just do anything to achieve it. You know, you put your body through so much and you just dent it out. You work 15-hour days and you just get rid of all your relationships and you just pound through to achieve that goal. And then you say after you achieve that goal, you reset another goal. And then you can look back in 20 years' time and say, I hadn't really enjoyed that journey as much as I should. You know, I got that 15 minutes worth of glory when I achieved that goal. What can you say to people out there, you know, going through those tough times of actually getting, you know, when the times are really tough and you want to give up? What advice do you have to those types of people about, you know, enjoying that journey? Because that's what life is. It's one experience. We want to enjoy it.
Right. Part of it, you have to find out how to enjoy and what to enjoy. For example, there's two ways to enjoy. When I was in graduate school, it turns out I came from Hofstra University, which had no background and had no graduate courses at all. The group that I was competing with, they all came from, well, they came from Harvard, MIT, Yale, Princeton, Cornell, Berkeley, and Stanford. Needless to say, they were all way ahead of me. They sometimes would gather, you know, we'd be around or together, whatever, midday on a Friday or a Thursday, and they'd say, hey, come on, tomorrow night, let's go and meet for beers, etc. And that sounds like a lot of fun in doing it, but at that point in my career, I had to say, wait a minute, I got to work a little harder than them. So I just said, gee, I'll meet you when I'm done. I've got something to do first. Obviously, I didn't meet them. I just kept on working. That was to push through. And you have to do some of that. You have to have the sacrifice in order to get and attain. But at the same point, you start reaping the benefits at different points. And you can take stopping points. One of the toughest things for me right now is I'm very well set. So, you know, somebody asked me yesterday, how do you get motivated with what all you have and have done? And it's a little different for me than when it was when I was having a hard time. But you have to make those choices. And when you do it, for example, what I use is I use the analogy of a train ride. The road to success or the trip or the train ride to success has many stops you can get off at any one of them you want and take a break and take a vacation. And you have to choose those. But if you never get back on, you'll never continue on the journey. If you get off and stay off too long, you'll not go as far. So depending on how long you stay on or how long you get off will determine how far you go. You have to decide when and how often, but you do have to take some. But you also have to find satisfaction in what you're doing. I mean, some of the things I've done, I've got so much satisfaction. I don't need anything from anybody else in satisfaction. And I know what I did, and I've seen it. That's where you get some of it. You have to look inward for satisfaction and enjoyment, not necessarily outward for to get it from other people.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. I love the idea of that train ride where, you know, we're not going out for drinks on Friday night because I'm a little bit busy and I'm a little bit behind, but also mum's sick in hospital. I'm not too busy to go visit her that I'm trying to hit that goal out. So I love being able to jump off at one train station, take the rest, jump back on, and continue towards your destination. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Grant, I know you've been scribbling away on your notepad there frantically, and we've had some absolute knowledge bombs on this show already. Can you come up with a bit of a framework or some tips and tricks that people can take into the office tomorrow and start setting or realigning their goals for success in their business?
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think the steps should be started by saying that Thomas absolutely knows exactly what he's talking about, and there's a reason that he's been mentioned over 35,000 different articles and things like that, right? So I think if you want to dive heavy into this topic, jump on and start looking and reading all of his content. I think it really is critical. So I've broken it down into six different parts. The first one is create the dream or goal, right? So don't just focus on your strengths. It really needs to be made up of what you like and what you're passionate about. This greater goal should be a single identifiable goal that you can see, touch, and feel when you close your eyes, right? We can then break it down into short-term goals to actually realign or see if we're achieving it, but it really is that greater purpose that we're going for. Step number two, we then want to identify and study what the ideal goal is. So what this includes is evaluating, studying, and reviewing how other businesses or people have done what we're looking to achieve. Then we can mimic exactly what they have done. And I think even myself in my own journey, what I've done is I've looked at what other people do and have done to get their success, and I've tried to apply it my own way as opposed to just mimicking it one-on-one. But you need to master it before you start tweaking it yourself. And you can do this through identifying different peoples and companies, but then filtering out the ones that don't align to your core values, your core mission, your personality, etc. To your point before, Thomas, it's like you don't relate back to Anthony Robbins and things, which is fine, but you've had similar success. Step number three is then you want to find your mentor, guide, or coach that's going to get you there. So you want to look for people who have done it before. You don't want to just focus on your end goal, but maybe start looking at the people who have achieved your short-term goals along the way. So always look a couple of steps ahead of yourself. You want to focus on mentors that, again, align with your core values and personality. And then the final part to that is also then just reaching out to them. They might be in your network, they might not. If you need to pay for them, do it, because it's going to significantly push you to success. Step number four is then you want to plan the steps and ways to get there. This ultimately is a step beyond number one, right? We want to start breaking down our short-term goals into scheduled items. We want to be able to realign ourselves to the schedule every week or every month. But ultimately, it gives us an analysis on whether or not we're being successful in achieving that greater goal or that greater dream. It's just like they say, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Step number five is build your new network to get you there. It is just a known fact that your friends and family can be harmful. If your network is not where you want to be, then they'll forever be your burden. It doesn't mean that you can't maintain some friendships, but know that you can't look at those friendships as a model of the success for you to achieve your dreams and goals. And to your point as well, Thomas, you are made up of the five people closest to you. So if the five people closest to you are not thriving for success and at that pinnacle, then you're not going to be either. And just remember, it's not negative to remove people from your life. It's actually a progression that you need to go on your own path. And then number six is repeat the entire process again. When you believe that you can achieve everything that you want to do and you achieve it, then you need to go and realign again. If you start seeing a slowdown or a plateau, go and reset your goals and go and realign to your goals, because it means that you haven't got a goal that you're really passionate about, or you've achieved it and you haven't recognized that you've achieved it. So, Thomas, how did I go on wrapping up the 6 points?
Good, good. Very nice. And I'll leave you one thing that I always try to stress to people. It actually came out of a question that somebody asked me one time. People very often want to know what they need to know. So what I like to say is, it's not what you need to know. It's what you don't know. If you focus on what you don't know, you'll become a leader. You'll become an authority. Don't worry about what you need to know. It's what you don't know that makes the difference.
Yeah, that's absolutely going to bake my noodle for the next 15 minutes thinking about that. Can you tell everyone where we can go to find out a little bit more about you, website, social media, your podcast, something that you wish to promote?
You can find me, well, first of all, the podcast is lifeunsettled.com, lifeunsettled.com, and you can find me there. You can send me voice messages or whatever. And then my Instagram is Thomas O'Grady, PhD, and Thomas_O'Grady is my Facebook, and Thomas O'Grady, PhD, there is the page.
Beautiful. We'll put those in the show notes for everyone playing along at home. We'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. You can get a Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit group and join in the conversation with us there.
Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and check out our podcast or even leave a review of exactly what you've taken away from today's episode.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, the same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, everyone.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.